Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Good morning, church. I hope you're having a great Sunday morning. Hey, I was going to have minor knee surgery on October 19th. However, the doctor's office called me Thursday and told me the surgery was moved up to Friday. So here you are, watching me on the big screen. And here I am, not being here, with my leg up at home, convalescing, wishing I was with you. I'll be back next week. I wanted to tell you via video, since I couldn't do it face-to-face, something very dear to my heart, something very important I just had to share with you. And I had to tell you about a hat I purchased for backpacking. You see, while backpacking, it's a hobby of mine, you go off into the woods with everything you need for the week on your back in a pack, thus the title, backpacking. While backpacking, I wanted a hat that would protect me from the sun, that would keep the skeeters off, that would be dry fit by way of material, and would be stylish enough to match many outfits, because that's important when you're backpacking. Not really. And so I went online and I found this perfect hat. It matched those four criteria, and I knew it would fit, even though I didn't try it on, because it said one size fits all. So I want to show you the hat. Here it is. It's awesome. It protects me from the sun. It keeps the skeeters off. And look, dry fit material and stylish. So stylish, in fact, it is reversible. I can hear you from home right now. Ooh, reversible. And of course, I knew it was going to fit because it said one size fits all. It doesn't fit. In fact, if I were to mash this thing down all the way, I'd probably lose blood flow to my brain and pass out, or my eyes would pop out. And so I'm taking it off because I realized that when it comes to hats, one size does not fit all. In fact, I think that whole notion of one size fits all, it's a fallacy. It doesn't work. Rather, when buying hats to go backpacking or to wear around, you want a hat that is flexible and can fit many different types of heads. Hello, Velcro. Hats that you can adjust just to your own noggin so that it fits. Look at dry fit material, fashionably red, keeps the sun and the skeeters off. Not reversible, but that's okay. And it fits perfect. So I learned something, friends, when looking for hats online to go backpacking in. I learned that one size does not fit all. Now, there's something in this for us. I learned something about hats that applies to discipleship in a church. And here it is. When it comes to your discipleship, River Church, when it comes to your intimacy with Jesus, when it comes to you as an individual walking closely with Jesus, there is no one size that fits all. There is no formulaic answer that if everybody would do step A, B, and C, it would be perfect in intimacy. There is no one size fits all. You see this throughout Scripture. We see John the Baptist, or as we call him in my household, J the B. J the B connected with God deeply in nature. I mean, he hung out in the wilderness. He ate wild things and he worked in the river. He connected with God best in nature. See, you compare him to King David, who connected with God best through celebration and worship. Throughout the Old Testament, books like the Psalms and some of David's other writings, he's just expressing joyfully with passion words to God. And David himself was a talented musician, much like Phrasa. He played the lyre and the harp, and he would sing unto the Lord. That's how David connected with the Lord. And then there's guys like Moses in the Old Testament. Moses connected with God deeply, but not by hanging out in wild places by the river eating wild things. He hung out closely with God while being alone. He would often go up on the mountain and be alone with God, and he connected deeply while alone. And then there's people like Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul. He connected with God when he was confronting things that weren't true. And that confrontational bringing up truth is how he connected with God. And then there's, of course, one of my favorites, Mary, who was applauded by Jesus himself for simply sitting in the presence of the Savior. Now, can you imagine if someone were to come along and talk to these Bible characters and say, hey, man, you're all doing it wrong. Jay the Bee, John the Baptist, you can't connect with God while being in the wilderness. You need to sit still at Jesus' feet like Mary did. He would go crazy trying to connect with God in a way that someone else does. You see, when it comes to discipleship and connecting with God, there is no one size fits all. And so, I've been telling you that we're about ready to unveil something, and I've been kind of playing it along for the past few weeks, telling you you're not ready. Well, I think today you're ready. Are you ready? Are you? Because we're unveiling it today. And what we're unveiling today, I'm going to have Rod come up here in a minute, and he's going to explain to you what we're unveiling. But let me just say it this way. We, as the staff of the church, believe that our job is to help you grow as disciples of Jesus and all that that means. And we've defined disciple as four things: someone who's intimate with Jesus, someone who walks in mercy with others, someone who's multiplying him or herself, that is, their faith is growing, and someone who lives in godly community. Those four things mark a disciple. And we want you to know that's our job as a church staff, to help you grow as a church. And you need to know, although we're unveiling something new in a few minutes, as soon as Rod gets up here, this is something we've been dealing with for a long time. Right? Just look at the history of the teachings at the river, right? We had a whole year given over to the title called Dirt, helping you be good soil so that you could grow, right? And then we had a sermon series like Impact, You're Made for Impact, and impact comes out of intimacy. And how many times have you heard me say intimacy? This is God, this is you, boom, that's what it's about. Intimacy, it's discipleship. And just recently, this past summer, I taught a series, Christian versus Disciple. You see, we're unveiling something new very soon in a few quick moments, but we've been leading up to this actually for years. And it's time for us as a church to turn up the flame, to turn up the fire. That's actually the same thing, I know, but it was more dramatic. To turn it up so that we could be on fire for Jesus as his disciples. And when we grow as disciples, when we grow. Now, I'm not there, but I want somebody to say grow. Did you say it? Good. As we grow as disciples, we will find freedom that we never dreamed was possible. Our families will, our neighborhoods will, and Kalamazoo and beyond will be different as we grow. And so I'm going to invite Rod up here to introduce to you this grow tool. We've titled it Grow. This whole thing is called Grow because we want you to grow from a seed to a root to a tree that bears much fruit. And as Rod comes up here, I want to give you one last image. As Rod comes up, hey, Rod, where are you? Oh, come on up, Rod. And while you're coming up, let me just tell you, here's what the tool is. The tool, this Grow tool, not one size fits all. It's very specialized to you. Rod will tell you more about that. It's our job and our efforts to lay out a smorgasbord for you to get up off your seat and to go choose what food you're to eat so that your discipleship level increases. This is what it's about. This is the unveiling of the tool. It's a smorgasbord for you to find what size, what thing, what way you connect to God, whether you're like John the Baptist, Mary, Paul, Moses, doesn't matter. We want you to find your way to connect with God so that you can grow. Rod, take it away. I'm out. See you all next week.
I'm not going to pretend it wasn't a little awkward. Have you guys ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Felt like I was on The Wizard of Oz. Rob is much better looking than the wizard on The Wizard of Oz. He's not green. But thought that would... You laughed a little. That's fine. That's good. So, Yeah, it's been a long time coming, and the first thing that I want to say, since Rob's not here, I would never say this in the room with him here, so don't tell him what I'm about to say. He is an awesome, awesome man. And one of the reasons that I really appreciate working at the River is because discipleship and intimacy with Jesus is always at the forefront. He's constantly challenging us as staff to have intimacy with Jesus because he knows that everything in ministry and everything we do in life is going to grow out of that. And so when we get intimate with Jesus and when we come up with crazy ideas like, hey, Rob, can I create an entire tool and unleash it to the church? He says, yeah, go for it. Be creative. And so you guys get the benefit of experiencing the fruit of a leader who empowers the people below him, beneath him, to work hard, to be intimate with Jesus, and to come up with some awesome things. And so for almost a year or 10 months, we have been working on this grow tool. And I've wanted to unleash it like every week that something new happens and I get excited and it's been like, hold off, it's not ready. And so now it's finally ready and it's really come together by the use of a really awesome team. And so it started in Dallas, as Rob was talking about. Thomas Wrench is an amazing designer who's done most of it for us as far as putting what you're about to see and what you'll see when you engage with it. A couple other people like Susan Landon, Becca Lorraine, Andrew Niebuhr, Darren DeVries, a whole team of people have come together and brainstormed and worked on this thing and brought their degrees and their training and their passion into this. And it's been really God-led. And so I want to tell you before we get into it, as Rob said, we're calling it grow because we want to move from a seed to a root to a tree. The seed is God's word. We know this, right? The parable of the sower. And where the seed lands is important. If it lands in weeds, you're in trouble. If it lands on rocks, you're in trouble. But if it lands in good soil where we take the word of God, allow it to dive into our experience so that the birds of the air can't snatch it away, then we enter into this realm where we are able to grow and produce crops, bear fruit that's far greater than anything we could have ever done on our own. And that's what this is about. But I reiterate, as Rob has been saying, it is a tool. A tool. I brought this for the kids. This is evidently a tool. It looks like a crowbar. I think it can pull nails. It can hammer. And something else it can do. I was talking with Brian Hamilton, our building manager, about it, and he said this is for twisting boards that are bent back into shape so that you can straighten them out and screw or nail them in correctly. This is a tool. I don't know what I would possibly use it for. But if I just set it here in front of me and stare at it, it does nothing. It's not a painting. It's not meant for that. It's meant to be used. And so my biggest concern in all of this is that we unveil this tool that is not the gospel itself, that's not going to fix all of your problems, but that will help you, trust me, will really help you go to another level, a deeper level in your faith if you use it. My greatest concern is that we won't use it, that we'll stare at it. And Americans, especially, we have the tendency to be highly critical and at the same time really lazy. And we use the criticalness to help keep us lazy. And so we look at something that's been created and we go, I didn't like the first chapter of that book. I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. I didn't really like this, how he started his sermon. It wasn't very funny. His head was too big on the screen, you know? I don't think I'm going to listen to the rest of the thing. And we put the tool down and we never pick it up again. I'm telling you today because I have tried to base much of the creation of this off of my own lifestyle and how I've grown, and I think that I'm a different person in some ways, and so is the team that created it. And we've tried to base this thing off the thing that has caused us to grow the most in our faith in the different areas. And if you even engage in half of it, or a third of it, I promise you, your life will be drastically different. So, we're dealing with how to change your lifestyle so that you can grow and become who God made you to be. This tool has been created with an assessment to help you know yourself so that you can know where you are and then discover where you want to be. And this tool has been created with growth opportunities so that once you know where you are and where you want to be, you can move towards spiritual maturity in those areas in 20 different areas of your life and my life. It's already helped me a great deal. So I want to dive deeper into this idea of an assessment, because you don't jump online, you don't take a test, and then all of a sudden you're discipled, as much as we would all like that. You jump onto this assessment that we've created, and I'll show you how in a little bit, and then you begin to know yourself. And this assessment is totally based on how you see yourself. There are no wrong answers. It's how you see yourself. Not how I see you. You're not telling me your favorite color, favorite animal, and, you know, favorite fast food, and then all of a sudden you have this printout that's like, whoa, how'd they know all that about me? This is simply you answer very direct, specific questions on how you see yourself, and then you know how you see yourself ultimately in bigger areas so that you know where you want to be. Here's the thing. I like this verse. Lamentations 3:40 says, "Let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord." The goal in knowing ourselves, the goal in glancing in the mirror, not staring in the mirror and staying there too long and shaming yourself for all the problems in your life, but the goal of glancing in the mirror and living honestly with yourself, others, and God is so that you can probe yourself. Return to the Lord, move away from the things that are not of God, and then with your lifestyle, move towards the things that are of God. But it's countercultural, is the term I think this examining self is, because we like to escape. We like to play Clash of Clans. I just deleted that game off of my phone. It was a constant escape. We don't like to go into those hard places of our life. We like to escape. We like to run away. We don't often examine ourselves. Instead, we blame, we hide, we fake it, but we don't dig deep. And like David said in the Psalms, say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." David, who was quoted as a man after God's own heart, said to the Lord, "Search me and know me. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in your everlasting way." And so this isn't just a jump online and do a thing and everything's fine. It's a deep searching of yourself so that you can know yourself, know where you want to be, and then know how to get to where you want to be. And once you know yourself a little better because of this assessment that we have, this first part of the Grow tool, we have growth opportunities for you. Depending on how you score and how you see yourself, you're going to fall into seed, root, or tree category. Seed meaning this is something that God is planting into my life newly that's kind of new to me. Roots meaning I've been doing this a while and I'm establishing roots here and I'm growing strong in this area. And a tree being I've been planted firmly in this area of discipleship for a long time and I'm ready to bear fruit and I'm ready to help others grow and get to those places where we have all these different growth opportunities for you. Rob called it a smorgasbord, which I don't know how to spell. And you don't either, so don't laugh at me. We're going to move into go opportunities, No opportunities and grow opportunities, and they rhyme, so you have to like them. Go opportunities, community opportunities, because your spiritual growth will not happen without community. It cannot happen on your own. You'll turn crazy. It has to happen within community. And so depending on the different element that you're working with, whether it be prayer, worship, your identity in Christ, having a humble and repentant heart, being transformed by God's word, being generous, serving others, you have opportunity to serve in community both in this church and outside the walls of this church that's going to skyrocket your faith in that area if you'll dive into that. And then we have no opportunities, which are resource-based. And in those no opportunities, there's Bible verses, not every single Bible verse on prayer that we could ever find in the Bible, but a couple that we want people to focus on and dive into. And then we have book recommendations, depending on how you score. Every book I ever have written is recommended. We found the best possible books that we could find on the topics, the classics, and we recommended them to read, and then we recorded 60 podcasts based on how you score so that you can know your next steps to get to the next level. The goal is to move from seed to tree, and once you're tree, to be able to bear fruit and help others grow. So as far as go is concerned, discipleship is about going and making disciples, and especially in community. And if you're not making disciples, I would say you're not a disciple, because that's what Jesus did. He made disciples. And then he told them to make disciples. And as far as no is concerned, if you're just doing stuff, but you don't know why you're doing it, you're just doing stuff. That's my quote. I didn't quote anybody on that. If you're just doing stuff, but you don't know why you're doing it, you're just doing stuff. And Romans 12:2 says, don't conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but let God transform your mind, renew your mind, so that you can know his will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect, so you can know why you do what you do. So we ground our faith in the resources of God's word and the teaching of others and the books and the things that are out there for us to grow in, so that when we go into community, we can know why we're doing what we're doing. That would be a beautiful thing if the church was a group of people who were actively bringing impact for the kingdom everywhere they were, but they knew why they were doing that, and there was never a disconnect. And then we have these grow opportunities that are actually titled grow. And they're spiritual disciplines. They're lifestyle changes that you can make. An example is, you want to be more generous? Search through your house, find everything that you have two of, and give one away. Uh-oh. But what if one of them breaks? And we start to live in these different spiritual disciplines that challenge us to show a lifestyle that is different. And when we begin to show a lifestyle that is different with these spiritual disciplines, when we start to live our lives a little differently and we're challenged in that way, all of a sudden, everyone around us that has a specific worldview about how things are supposed to work, and we're all of a sudden giving things away, or we're living a lifestyle that is a little bit different here and there, it's like you take a wrench and you throw that wrench into the machine of the way that someone else is thinking, and they go, whoa, wait. Everything I've ever thought, everything I've ever believed about people is wrong. And we get to throw a wrench into that. The only story I have to kind of give you an example of that is one day, like this was like 3 or 4 years ago, my neighbor knocks on my door and he asks to borrow, or he asks me to give him a ride to Walmart. And he was kind of a rough around the edges kind of guy, you know, his edges were rough. And I thought that would be more funny than it was. He asked me to give him a ride to Walmart, and I couldn't, so I grabbed my car keys, and I said, here, just take my car.
a lifestyle choice, a spiritual discipline. And he looked at me like I was crazy, and he started yelling at me, which I didn't like. And he said, if my friends only knew that you would do this for me, they would think I was crazy. They're not even going to believe me. And out of that interaction, I found out that he was a man who had been heavily involved in drugs. He wasn't being a very good father at the time, and he was in a lot of trouble trying to get out of drugs and selling vacuum cleaners, and no one wanted to buy his vacuum cleaners, and he was in a tough spot, and he didn't feel trustworthy. But in a moment, because my lifestyle was a little bit different, because I felt like God wanted me to do something a little bit different in his life, I was able to communicate to him, you're trustworthy. You're trustworthy. God says you're trustworthy. And out of that interaction, he actually didn't even let me give him a ride because he didn't trust himself. He didn't borrow my car. He made me give him a ride. Out of that came a commitment to leave drugs, a commitment to be a better father, and a better relationship with Jesus. It was powerful. But it happened in a moment because of a spiritual discipline lifestyle choice. And so we have some of those, depending on if you're seed, root, or tree, that can help you kind of move to the next level in these areas. So thanks for coming. You guys are tough this morning. Do you want to see it? All right. Now, I'm going to show you a link, and most of you are probably going to get your phones out and start. If you can hold off for a couple minutes, it'll be good. By the way, I was the one who messed up the video because they let me control the slides with my cell phone. So, learn my lesson. You go to this, and it's on our main website. If you go to theriver.info, you can just click on Grow, and it's all going to open. And this is where you start. And when you get to the place that is www.theriver.info/grow, what you will find is a whole entire webpage with the video that you've been watching, and it'll have this as one of the main pieces. And it says, start with the Grow tool, view your personalized results, view your growth opportunities, and then go, know, and grow. Use the growth opportunities to grow in your faith. And there will be a Start Now button that you can click and begin. And once you click that Start Now button, you will have this, a screen pop up that explains to you, you're going to answer 60 questions that have 20 areas of focus, and it will take you exactly 10 minutes. And if it takes you any time over 10 minutes, we will give you all of your money back. You answer the questions based on a 1 through 6 scale, 1 being this doesn't really describe me yet, and 6 being this intimately describes me. And we want you to be honest. It's easy to skew results so they read how you want, but this isn't about you proving anything to me or Rob. This is about you and how you see yourself. We want you to trust your gut. Your first reaction will probably be the most accurate because you will have prayed before you do this assessment. The assessment looks like a bunch of questions with a scale of 1 to 6, and they are all randomized, all 60 questions, and so you will just answer them as you see fit for yourself. An example question is, I make intentional space in my daily routine to give God glory for who he is and what he has done. 1, that's new to me, I'm beginning to do that. 6, I've done that every single day of my life since the day I was born. Does that make sense? This intimately describes me versus I'm beginning in this area and anywhere in between. Once you finish the test, you'll come to this a screen that says enter your email. If you don't enter your email, you won't get your results in your email and they'll disappear right after you take the test. So you'll get to see your results immediately, but enter an email. If you don't have an email, create an email. If you don't know how to create an email, find a friend that has an email and they'll help you. I recommend Gmail. And then you submit, and all of your results will come to your email. And you will score how you see yourself. I took this test, and I scored 8% a seed because I just clicked submit, 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 submit without answering any of the questions. Maybe answered 2 of them. That's why I got 8%. And you'll see where you're at. Once you get to 100% of seed, you'll move to root. And that's just kind of an overall thing of how you see yourself. This is not how I see you. This is how you see yourself. And then it's pretty overwhelming with all the information. You get about 20 different elements of where you are discipleship-wise and where you see yourself. And so we have a need a place to start. Check this out. And your lowest scoring category will appear right there, and you can see what you need to do. If you want a discipleship coach to help you plan out your own personal growth journey, you can send us an email by clicking a link that says, send us an email. Right under Need a Place to Start, there is a thing that says View Growth Opportunities, and it'll be for every specific element that you are being evaluated on. And once you click that you want to view those growth opportunities, they look just like a paragraph that says where you're at and then what vehicles are recommended for you to, or opportunities are recommended for you to dive into. And so once you click those opportunities, they open up to a whole nother page that says the element that you are clicking on. So an example would be you clicked on prayer. And then to the right of that, it will say ready to grow, seed, root, or tree. Depending on what element or what score was recommended for you, seed, root, or tree, you can click on that, and it will open up those opportunities, go, know, and grow. So an example for prayer, some of the go vehicles for community or join our prayer network, our prayer team, our street team, and get involved in Jesus Loves Kalamazoo for a seed level score. If you were to click on Bible references and resources, a PDF will pull up with all of those resources that you can print off and you can take home. And then you can listen to the podcast that was designed for that specific score. And then if you were to click on spiritual disciplines or Bible biblical references or resources, it will come out in PDF form. So this is some of the spiritual disciplines that will come up, and they'll be for seed, root, and tree. Now, this is a ton of information, don't you agree? And so to help you with it, I made a business card. And it has the website and where to go to. And they're out on the Welcome Center with people who have iPads who will help you take the assessment if you want. You can go to the public library and take it. You can take it on your phone. Probably 50 of you have already taken it on your phone right now while I'm talking. And it has directions on the back of this card. Now, here's the thing. I just gave you about a 10-minute introduction of something that we have been working on for about 10 months. It's awesome. It is Holy Spirit inspired, I believe that. I remember sitting in a circle with Rob and Fraze as we were talking about what on earth we can do to bring discipleship to this place besides just throw everybody into a small group. Small groups are not bad. But if that's the only way that people are engaging in discipleship, we're missing something. And this truly is a way that you and I can step into an environment, an atmosphere that is primed with the right tools to help us step into a deeper level of growth. But it's more than just one tool. It's like a tool belt of stuff, and it's going to take a long time to get through all of it. And so start somewhere small, and as you grow and you want to reevaluate yourself, go back and do the assessment again and see where you're at. And every 3 or 4 months, we're going to go and we're going to do it all as a community, and we're going to see where we're at as a community so that we can know how to teach and what to bring to everyone here. But I will tell you this, I'm not spying on you. I'm not like looking up everybody's score. Maybe Jared. I just really want to know how he scores. It's safe. No one's spying on you. And it's a how you see yourself. And it seems a little intimidating at the start. But it is important in this place, the river, that I think has brought huge change to Kalamazoo, that has challenged the Reformed Church of America in huge ways. It is important that the people in this place begin to go to the next level together. It's not about just coming on Sunday morning, and it's not about just going to your small group. It's about finding things that are actually going to move you into another level of lifestyle so that when people look at you, they say, what in the world? Why would that person do that for me? Or why would that person even do that? Because we represent a different kingdom than the kingdom that we live in. Joshua 3:5 says, consecrate yourselves to the Lord, and tomorrow he will do amazing things. This is a way that we set ourselves apart to move away from the things that are not of God for our lives and move towards the things that are of God for our lives. Every time we set ourselves apart to what God is doing in our lives and we move away from the distractions, we create space for him to dynamically use us to bring real and lasting change to this world. This is not just a new shiny toy. It will be around for a long time. This is something that will help you grow deeply. It's already helped me a ton. I cast this vision out to other churches around the denomination that we're in and even some other ones, the Unstuck group down in Texas that helps churches kind of get unstuck if they feel stuck in all of these places, said, this is phenomenal. We've never seen anything like it. It's going to help, and we want to know how it helps, and then we want to know if you'll give it to us. And I was like, yeah, we'll figure out a way. But I think in this place, at the river, at this season, we have an opportunity to change Kalamazoo, to change our families, and to drastically change the trajectory of our lives, even if we were on a good trajectory. Do you guys agree? And I think, and I believe, that we're at the precipice of something really, really, really big. So you have a job to do. And this is not a motivational sermon today, go out and change the world. You have a literal one job to do. Go here and do that assessment and look through your results. Do I need to say that three more times, or do you guys got it? You got it. Good job, B-Dog. You got it. We will know ourselves, we'll know how to grow, and we will be people who bear fruit and help others grow. So everybody, go take the test, go take the test, go take the test.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.